For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, July the 5th, 1990. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris is the speaker of the evening.
But it was a privilege last night for me to have both Colonel Speed Wilson and Jack Harris here together yesterday. And Jack, he doesn't have much problem right now, but I felt like if I could have got my chest big enough, I'd have popped all my buttons off. I was thrilled to be honored with both of their presence last night, the presence of Colonel Speed Wilson and Jack Harris, to be here on the 4th of July, to be here to minister to us yesterday. But it's a joy and a pleasure to have Brother Harris come and be part of this campground, and be part of the governing body of this place, and to come and minister the word of the Lord as the Lord reveals unto him the word for the hour and the day that we live in. It's a joy to have Jack with us to minister tonight.
Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. I'm happy to be here. Thank the Lord. His Brother Dolan said the Apostle Peter gave us all an opening statement on the Mountain of Transfiguration. He couldn't think of anything else to say, and he said, it's good to be here. And ever since then, the Pentecostal-oriented preachers have used that phrase. Hallelujah. And it is indeed a good one, isn't it? Thank the Lord. Oh, I sense the presence of the Lord in the tabernacle this evening. Praise the Lord. I sense his profound presence. Hallelujah. Would you just close your eyes with me a moment, and we'll lift our hands and just praise him that's worthy of all praise. Hallelujah. Praise the lovely Lord Jesus for his wonderful goodness toward us. Oh, thank God forever. Our God reigns. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. O wonder of wonders, our Lord and our God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yea, hear the word of the Lord, for the Lord speaks profoundly to thee tonight, saying, hey, surely you have received many blessings. Surely much deliverance has been wrought, yea. And you've sat in the realm of the Shekinah glory of your God. Yea, I tell you also, my people, that you have received some good instructions since you have come to this meeting. Hey, and if thou shall observe these instructions and shall allow them to become a part of your life, I shall liken you unto a man that built his house on a rock. And the rains poured, the hail fell, the wind blew, the lightning flashed, Yea, but that house stood, for it was indestructible, saith the Lord thou God. But on the other hand, if thou should hear a true word from God, and neglect it and ignore it, I would liken you then to a man that built his house on sand. Yea, and it stood in splendor for a while, but then come the rains, the winds, the lightnings, the hails flashed, and the wind blew, and that house was destroyed, and great was the destruction. But I know that it shall not be so with you, for you are my people, and I have called thee, yea. I have handpicked thee, as it were, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and I have chosen thee and called thee out, and not just to be idle, but for a purpose, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I know that you will be an obedient people, because I know that you will be taught, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, for I see the hungering in your heart, yea, and know that it reaches the heart of God. Yea, I see your hungering, and I know your desire to follow on after me. I tell you that desire shall not leave you until I bring deliverers up on Mount Zion, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and then shalt thou see mass deliverance as you have never seen it before, saith the Lord thou God. For then shall I begin to deal with all the chaff, yea, and I shall begin to search for the last spot, yea, saith the Lord thou God. And I shall quicken you through your spirit, yea, and I shall call defects that are now in thee to your attention, yea, and you shall say unto me, I confess that I am guilty, Lord. Deal with me. Cleanse me, O Lord. Wash me with hyssop, and I shall be white as snow. I shall be as pure as holiness, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, for only a people that are hungry for my presence, only a people that wants to be called by my name, only a people that wants to apprehend that for which they were apprehended for, would even come as you have come, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, of hot pavement thou hast driven, and ye shall not leave as ye come, saith the Lord thou God. Ye shall not appoint it, for the Lord thou God shall teach you his ways, saith the Lord, and you shall know that you are the chosen, that you are the elect, or the very elect of the elect, saith the Lord thou God. I tell you that you are a candidate for sonship this night, because you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, yea, and you have the Spirit of the Almighty God living within you. I tell you again, greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. I tell you now that you are a real people in a real warfare against a real enemy over a real truth, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, you will remember that the Apostle Paul has written that I am set for the defense of the gospel. I tell you now, if your spiritual eyes were open, yea, and you should see what an attack that the church of the living God is really under, how much conspiracy there is in various realms, yea, in the political systems, yea, but not only in the political systems and in the systems of the church. If you could see all that is poised, yea, to make war against the church, you too would be set for the defense of the gospel. I tell you now, in a manner of speech, it would be time to circle the wagons, yea, and get ready to defend the gospel of the kingdom. I tell you again that he that is in you is greater than he that is charging down on you, saith the Lord thou God. You must maintain an awareness of this, and you will be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, saith the Lord. Yea, and I shall say of you, this is my son, and you shall say of me, thou art my father. Yea, and I shall draw thee closely unto me, saith the Lord. Yea, and I shall teach you in your ear. Yea, I shall show you by the sight of the spiritual eye. Yea, I shall enable thee to bypass the natural senses. Yea, and I shall revive the spiritual senses, yea, that was lost in the fall, saith the Lord. But I adore restoring. Yea, it is a day of restoration. If you would be restored, say, here am I, Lord. Yea, and the Lord will take count of your presence and of your name. Yea, and the Lord will surely, when he is blessing others, he will not pass over, yea, and pass you by, saith the Lord. Yea, for your privileged people to be in the presence of this ministry, the ministry of this body that has gathered together, the ministry that governs this body that is gathered together even here this night. I tell you, your God is a God of order. Yea, and that order is divine order. Yea, I am a God that sets. Yea, I am a God that plucks up. Yea, pulls down, yea, and uproots. But I am also a God that sets, and I set everything in order. Yea, I tell you now that I am moving upon the ministry that I have called. Yea, I know that not all that are called ministry in the land this night are called by me. Yea, but those that I have called, yea, them that I have justified, yea, I'm putting a hungering in their hearts. I'm putting a revelation in their spirit. Yea, and I'm teaching them the ways of God as I have not another generation, saith the Lord of glory. Yea, I tell you now, do not sit idly by. Yea, but if you feel the workings, the inworkings of the Spirit, you will hear voices that others don't hear. Thou will have feelings that others don't feel. And you will know of an assurance that you're in the presence of God. Yea, and that you are numbered among those that shall attain unto the high calling, saith the Lord God. Yea, do not delay. It is time for ministry. It is a time to rise up and take the kingdom. For know that the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and the violent does take it by force. Saith the Lord, I speak to you of a godly force, as you know, saith the Lord. Yea, my government shall not fail. Yea, my love shall not fail. Yea, I shall begin. Yea, I shall begin to teach you about timing and placing and execution, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, for I shall bring thee into a body of people. Yea, and thou show that you are not alone. Thou shalt know that you stand not alone and that you have not been weakened by the processes of the enemy that has launched an attack against the church. For do you not recall that I said to the apostles of old, Rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I tell you that is true, as true tonight as it was when the Lord spoke it. Yea, I have safeguarded. I tell you now that every move, everything that has transpired, yea, has been within the timing and the placing of the Almighty. Yea, and I know well where we are on my timetable and on the map of the Almighty tonight. I can pinpoint your position. I know exactly where you are. I know exactly where the church is. I speak of the church as a universal body of Christ. Yea, for know that I am not too taken up in denominations and sectarianism. Yea, but wherever there is a sincere heart, and wherever there is divine order, and wherever the revelation of God flows into your heart and into your mind and into your spirit, you are my people, yea, and it is I that is quickening you, yea, it is I that is quickening you, yea, and making you alive, yea, alive not to the world, but alive unto God. I tell you now that the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus will set you free from the law of sin and death, yea, and thou shalt arise and come up to a higher law, yea, and be governed by a higher law, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, for it is the Lord that speaketh, and who is he that can gainsay? For if God be for us, who is he that can be against us? For if he that spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Oh, the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break his bands from us. Let us cast his cords asunder. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king in my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance in the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt rule them with a rod of iron. Dash them in pieces as a potter's vessel. Hear ye, kings, and be wise, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with ye, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all them that do put their trust in the Lord. Lord, how art thy priests that trouble me? Many there be that rise up against me. Many there be that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, Lord, art my shield and my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept, and I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I won't be afraid now if 10,000 people gather themselves together against me. Rise up, my Lord, save me, my God. Thou hast gnawed mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth to thee, and thy blessings are upon all your people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you care. Thank you for your caring, O Lord. Oh, thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for your love. We sing a chorus, oh, for the love, like the love of God. Hallelujah. And what is the love of God? Well, you remember on that memorable occasion when Jesus had gathered with his disciples for the what's called the Last Supper, the Last Gathering. He said, one of you is going to betray me. And they listened. You know, the table was rather long, and some of them were a good distance from him. And Peter leans over on John and says, did I misunderstand him, or did he say that one of us was going to betray him? So, yeah, that's what he said. Oh, my. Isn't it amazing? The Bible says that Jesus needed not that any man tell him what was in the mind of man, for he knew all men. It tells in the opening that Jesus knew that it was Judas who was going to betray him. Together for months. And the apostles had observed Jesus' action and reaction toward each apostle. And not one of the apostles suspected Judas. Right. Having loved his own, it says in the 13th chapter of St. John, where this story is told, having loved his own, he loved them until the end. Well, I thought, boy, that's I don't know if I could do that or not. Could I travel with 12 men that were supposed to be loyal to me and loyal to my cause, knowing full well that one of them was trying to run a conspiracy against me, going to stab me in the back, so to speak, going to betray me? Could I, wouldn't it show up somewhere down the road? I mean, wouldn't I probably let it show up somewhere? That I had something with Judas here. But it didn't show up, did it? That's our blessed Lord. Oh, I tell you, Isaiah said his image was marred more than any other man's. I realize that the first meaning there probably speaks of the cross and the whipping post and all of these things. But I tell you, it means more than that. It means the portrayal of him now is marred more than the life or the portrayal of any other or infamous person. Praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing? I'm going to read, if you want to read with me, from Ephesians chapter 4. And for a few minutes, whatever, we'll expound some maybe and try to teach you some. there's one thing about teaching at Lake Hamilton. You don't have to be too careful, because if you got a revelation from the Lord, because, see, if you wasn't hungry, you wouldn't come to Lake Hamilton. If you didn't know what God was doing, you wouldn't even come here, would you? So I got a good class. I know in the opening that you want what God has. And that's all I want for you. I have no other motives. No, this is my only motive. I didn't ask God to call me into the ministry. I didn't ask him to. I'm glad he did, but I didn't ask him to. I never asked him for any position in ministry. I never asked him. I'm glad for what he has given me and how he has placed me, how he has led me, but I never asked him to do it. The choosing is his. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. And that makes him, I like it that way, because that makes him responsible. I like to think that God is responsible for this guy. You know? See? And, amen. And, and another thing, too, I'm continual. I never demand that you believe everything that I believe just the way I believe it. If you will not demand me to believe everything that you believe just the way that you believe it. If you persist to argue with me, I have to give you the privilege of being wrong. All right. Now we got acquainted. Now, I think most of you know me and have known my ministry. If you follow the message that I preach and the ministry that God brings through me, it'll never hurt you. I will never hurt you. Hallelujah. I'll never make any false claims. I'll never defraud you. I'll never take anything through false pretense. I'll never ask you for anything. Hallelujah. Amen. And that has been a long-standing policy with me from the very beginning. That's the way the Lord has led me. He may not have led you the same way. He doesn't deal with all of us the same way. He has a variety of ministries. I'm about to read to us here. Let's do. In the seventh, let's begin with the seventh verse, I guess, in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Did I say Ephesians? All right. Yeah, this is a real familiar passage to us that have, may not be familiar to some, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let me pause here long enough to say He gave this five-fold ministry, and then he tells us what he gave it for. He gave it for the perfecting of the saints. You see, God gave the five-fold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. Yeah. One lady I was talking to up in Virginia just recently, and I asked her where. Well, so I'm not from anywhere particular. So I said, what do you do? So I just go around and try to keep the preacher straight. Got any help? Well, you know, God will perfect the five-fold ministry, and the five-fold ministry will be for the perfecting of the saints. You have to worry about perfecting the ministry. Amen. Just worry about letting the ministry perfect you. Hallelujah. That's it. Amen. I'm subject to all ministry. I submit to all ministry. When I'm submissive to Glenn, whatever he says, I'll do. And whatever decisions he makes, I stand with him. Without question, I just stand with him. Whatever kind of decision he makes while I'm here, during a meeting, I stand with him. I mean, I'm with Glenn. He is the priest over this campground and over this meeting. He is equivalent to, though he didn't call this church, but he's equivalent to a pastor. The pastor is the highest order in the church. Nobody in the church, nobody is above the pastor. And when an apostle visits a church, he is subject to the pastor. Though he is in a higher ministry, greater ministry, but he submits to the pastor. Everybody is subject to the pastor. Brother James said in the council at Jerusalem, he said, "My sentence is this." That was the final decision. The apostles and elders had been in a discussion, and James said, "My sentence is this." James was the pastor. He had the last word. He had veto power. It is amazing what the church, you know what the church is teaching us and what the Bible is teaching us is not the same thing. The church is teaching us to get ready to die, and the Bible is teaching us to get ready to live.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You want to know what my blessed hope is? Hallelujah. Well, my blessed hope was, when I first came, I came through the old Pentecostal order, and my first hope was, when I first got saved, I was very young, but I hoped I'd die and go to heaven. That's a good hope. But I thought my hope now, I found a more blessed hope than that. I don't belittle that. You understand? And if in the providence of God I wind up there, I'll be very happy about it. I'll tell you that. But that's not my hope. You know what my hope is now? My hope, that was my hope for several years, but my hope now is to live and reign with Christ.
Amen.
Now, and I think that's a better hope. Heaven will take care of itself. Hallelujah. Amen. It may be the last place we go. Hallelujah. Amen. But oh my. Well, we don't want to take too much candy away from us. Hallelujah. Amen. It's better to live and reign than it is to, if you're reigning with Him, than it is just to die and go to heaven. My first concept was that I'd die and go to heaven, and I was just going to rest from then on. Well, at 22 or 3 years old, you can't be too tired. Hallelujah. Amen. Or to get rested pretty soon. But now that's not my concept. God has opened my eyes. I believed what the teachers taught me. Yeah. You know, I have a saying that the teacher hasn't taught until the pupil learns. When the student learns, then he or she has taught. And they taught me, and I learned. But some of the things, so many of the things I learned, I had to unlearn them. So the church teaches us to get ready to die, but the Bible's teaching us to get ready to live. And the church teaches us to get ready to go, and the Bible is teaching us to get ready to stay. Hallelujah. And yeah, that's right. And the church is teaching us to fly, and the Bible teaching us to fight.
Hallelujah.
So, I mean, who's right? I can't go and stay both. Can't live and die both. I got to make a decision here. I believe the Bible's right, don't you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I tell you what. If we don't get hold of the Word of God and let it reveal His person to our person, we'll still be doing the same thing we're doing now 20 years from now. Well, some of us may not still be doing that. If I could live as long as my forefathers, I could be preaching 35 years from now. My dad lived to 97, and if he'd have been a preacher, he could have preached up till 4 hours before he... Hallelujah. That don't guarantee me anything, but I like to think about it anyhow. I think I've got some heritage that goes beyond that. All right, let's look at this fivefold ministry some more. He gave some apostles, some prophets, and evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Now, this is what the ministry is for, is to perfect the saints. Perfect the saints. What's the use in perfecting them if we're just going to teach them to die? all right. And we won't press too heavy. And all right. Now, what's for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry? Who's going to work the ministry? The saints. Saints is going to work the ministry. Somebody says, well, I move in the gifts. I got the gift of prophecy. Well, that's all right. That's good. That's great. He that prophesies is greater than he. How many of you have spoken tongues? How many of you have given a message in tongues? How many, hold your hand up again, have given a message in tongues? How many of you with your hand still up have ever interpreted? You've given a message in tongues, but have you interpreted? All right, there's few. Well, I know you have interpreted, Brother Golden. All of you have interpreted then. All right. Then, how many of you have moved in the gift of prophecy? Yeah. Well, all right, if you have moved in the gift of prophecy, you know, we use a statement that terminology, I have the gift of prophecy. Well, I mean, I relate to that terminology. I'll agree to a lot of terminology that that technically I know is not right, but we have received, the gift of prophecy has moved through us. Now, what should we do? As saints in the church, in the true church, what would we do with that gift of prophecy? We activate it or allow it to be activated by the Spirit until it becomes a ministry. Then we have a ministry of prophecy. But we're still not a prophet, you understand. There is a difference in an office prophet and prophecy, even though it be a ministry that has developed tremendously through the gift of prophecy, is still not a prophet. And it's designed to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Whereas an office prophet can give directional prophecy. But anybody moving just through the gift of prophecy, even though he has developed a tremendous ministry in there, still shy away from directive prophecy. And you will be fortunate to get to do that because, personally, I don't want to direct anybody's life. It puts a great responsibility on me when somebody comes to me and says, I want direction. Now I've got to hear from God. Because I may send them to Mexico when they ought to be going to Australia. I may be sending them both places when they ought to just go home. Hallelujah. Amen. But I have to know that I'm hearing from God, don't I? Now, I tell you, there's a lot of fickle prophecy has moved into the gatherings. A lot of prophecy that just comes from the spirit of people. Never, the intentions of the people are generally honorable, and their intentions are good, but they simply just don't have a word from God. And they try to give each other directive prophecy, and it just ruins lives. And it's not good for the church. It's out of the realm of divine order, missing God a million miles. And with good intentions. Never been taught. A lot of people hadn't been still long enough to be taught. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the charismatics, they rarely have been still long enough to be taught. We need to, what do we need then? All right, we need to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. He has set some in the church. First apostles, then prophets, and then teachers. He says, he set them in there. S-E-T. When you see the word S-E-T, that means somebody else done it. Yeah. If I am set, somebody else done it. If I do it myself, I'm sitting. That's spelled different, isn't it? lot have S-I-T in the church, but we need to be S-E-T.
Right.
Hallelujah. In the church. Hallelujah. Amen. And under the ministry, under the 5-0, submissive to the 5-0 ministry. I was teaching on submission up in West Virginia one time, and I had this, I just read all the scriptures that pertain to submission, and of course, it got around to women submitting to the husband. And, yeah, you know, so finally, but I didn't deal with that. I just read it. And then I mean, I'm not crazy. Well, I just read it. And then I went ahead with my teaching, and as was customary back then, I opened for questions. And this one lady got up back, well, halfway back, and she said, "Brother Harris, are you saying that women has to be submissive to men?" And I said, "Well, I just read where wives should be submissive, had to be submissive to their husbands, that the man is, is over the woman." So she fired another one at me right quick on submission. Does she have to submit to? And I'm not going to submit, she says. And then she said, and I said, "Well, sister, has it ever occurred to you, or have you ever thought of the possibility that you might be just a little bit rebellious?" Yeah. And that ended that discourse. Praise the Lord. Well, all right, so for the work of the ministry, and what's the work of the ministry supposed to do? Here we already said, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Who is the body of Christ? We are the body of Christ. And the 5-0 ministry is perfecting the saints. The 5-0 ministry is given by Him, by the blessed Lord, to perfect the saints that they can perform ministry, administer ministry, that will edify the saints, the body of Christ. That's very simple, isn't it? I mean, it's simple foot. It's just simple. Now, the next word, the next verse, we have a time word. Until. How long is this ministry supposed to be in effect? Here's the answer. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Did you know there is a great spirit of deception in the land today? And if the many people are hiding behind denominational barriers, many people are following a personality. And once we get into that mentality, we're wide open for continual deception. And we'll be deceived into oversleeping our rights and our potential. And when the thing all winds up, we'll be caught in that system. And whatever befalls the system will befall us. If we're there. You remember Jonathan and the beautiful revelation that he had concerning Saul, his father, and David, his friend. And he had the revelation that David had the anointing. Saul had lost the anointing. Saul was the old order. And God was raising David up to be king. And Jonathan admired David so much that Jonathan was the crown prince. You know, he was crown prince, next in line to the throne of Saul, but he relinquished to David and said, you be king, and let me be the secretary of state or your right-hand man, whatever, next in order. And he tried to befriend David. What he tried to do, he wouldn't leave the system. Saul had a nimplanted, established system, and he wouldn't leave it, though he had the revelation that God was no longer with it. I tell you, Brother Reggie Fulman was using an expression that he used several times there about certain ministry, and he said, they know more than you think they know. And he was right. There are more ministry that knows more than they're telling. Because, after all, God has moved to the spirit of revelation, and he's moved on them, and they have the revelation that there's a David company out here.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. They have the revelation, but they will not, they simply cannot get loose from where they are because of their system. They got a retirement. Then, you've got 20 years. Retirement here. I just in 10 years I can retire. I can understand a lot of that, and for various reasons, like Grandma belonged to this church, and all the answers. That was the way that Jonathan was. But when it come time for God to write finale on Saul's kingdom, when they nailed his head to the barn door, they nailed Jonathan's right beside it. Beautiful man with a beautiful revelation, beautiful spirit, but he just stayed too long. He had every intention of breaking out, coming out. I tell you now that you're looking at a come out of the come outers. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I do not hesitate to follow the Lord if I know it is the Lord. And I tell you, I don't do anything hastily. I have to know that the Lord. It's not always easy to know the voice of God. It's not nearly so fickle as it is portrayed. Everybody's getting a word from God. The Bible says to Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to him and said, Jeremiah, rise and go down to the potter's house. Jeremiah 18. Over 1,800 times in the Bible, there is the equivalent of the statement that somebody is receiving a word from God. Hallelujah. But a lot of times we don't know whether we're receiving a word from God or not. If God tries us, doesn't he? Hallelujah. He tests us with the word. I don't know, I've ministered in all to all of the holy people, and those super spiritual folks that they couldn't go get a loaf of bread till the Lord tells them to. I've heard them say that. The Lord told me to go. Well, the Lord I guess he's neglecting me a little bit. He just doesn't take care of those primary details for me. But I got sense enough myself to go get a loaf of bread. Without anybody telling me to. I don't have to have the word of the Lord to do just ordinary things that you do every day. Hallelujah. He knows I've got sense enough to take care of that. But when I hear the word of the Lord, by and large, when the Lord speaks to me, he puts me on the spot. He can put the pressure on you. He can turn the heat up. There's a lady down in Houston that composed this song. I don't know, Linda, you might be interested in this one. It's kind of comical, but it's kind of true, too. I believe the title of it is Caught Between the Fire and the Griddle. I forget what the words are, but I think the theme is that if she runs, she's had it, and if she stays, he's going to turn the heat up. So she's caught between the fire and the griddle, is the course. And sometimes it seems that way, doesn't it? God, how about this old boy?
Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrow, and we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray and turned every one to his own way. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, but he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living, and for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because in him was no violence, neither was deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When he hath made his soul an offering for sin, he shall see of his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That was Isaiah. Isaiah, some 700-800 years before the blessed Lord, the baby cried out in Bethlehem. Isaiah spoke these beautiful poetic truths. Under the old English law, before fingerprinting became a positive a means of identification, four marks was enough to satisfy. Four marks of identification was enough to satisfy the old English law. Isaiah, almost 800 years before the baby cried in Bethlehem, lifted up his voice and placed 27 identifying marks on our blessed Lord. Hallelujah. Now, he had to be hearing from somebody. He had to be hearing from a power more knowledgeable than Isaiah was, more knowledgeable than anybody in the universe was. He had to hear from God, and because he heard from God, he could, behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Oh, to who's speaking? God speaking it to me. God speaking. The men of old, hallelujah, amen. You had to know. Why do you think that John said, try the spirits and see if they be of God? For he said, there are many spirits gone out, and all of them are not of God, didn't you say? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger, they won't follow. But I tell you, there are many that are following a strange voice tonight. There are many voices that are vying for the attention of the Christians that are encamped in the world. Many personalities saying, come over and help us. But I tell you, hallelujah, what we need to do according to the scriptures and according to the revelation from God to my spirit is we need to seek God until we get a definite answer and a definite setting. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody doesn't just... it is not within man to direct his own steps. And if you try it, I'll guarantee you that you'll make shipwreck. And so we wait. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Yes, you see, I know that this last move, they talked to God a lot. I've heard them call him Big Daddy. Oh, my. Somehow or another, that doesn't set well with me at all. Somehow or another, that gives me about the same feeling it does when I hear that joker's burning that flag. Hallelujah. It is irreverent to burn that flag. It's disrespectful. It's defiant. I think it's irreverent to refer to the Heavenly Father as Daddy. I heard one charismatic testify, and he said, I said, "Hello there." Pressure was coming down on him. He was two car payments behind, and they were threatening to repossess. And he said, "Hey, Daddy, Big Daddy." No, he called him Big Daddy. Big Daddy. Well, if he's Daddy, he's big. Big Daddy, up there, I'm in trouble down here. I got to have two car payments. And Big Daddy said, "All right, little Joe, let's go to the post office. It'll be there." Now, I don't remember whether he told about going to the post office or not, but there's one thing that I'm sure of, is that he didn't hear from God. And if he were to hear from God, he wouldn't know it. Amen. And that God is not in the business of carrying on fickle conversations like that. Yeah. I'll tell you now. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. He is interested in directing us, and God will, don't misunderstand me, and I know that you won't. I believe that God speaks to us. I know that He speaks to us. I am one that He speaks to. Hallelujah. And many of you, perhaps all of you, but you just don't have those kind of conversations with Him. I mean, you know, He's the Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. And we're just one of the children. And that very small and insignificant, too. I'll tell you, except what He places, there is nothing else. Oh, yes. He placed this five-fold ministry in the church for what is it? For? All right. Now, to perfect the church. All right. I ask you then, can the church, as the world knows the church, can it ever be perfected under the present system? The answer is no, because most of your church structure will not accept but two of these ministries. They accept the pastor and the evangelist. And possibly the teacher. But they will reject the prophet and the apostle, and it is up on the foundation of these two ministries that the church stands and is built, and that we're built it upon. They cannot be perfected until they accept the ministry of the apostles and prophets, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Because the reason is, and I get ahead of myself, but I always do. Anyhow, I'll come back and pick up somewhere, and perhaps you wonder what I was trying to do at 12. All right? What is this five-fold ministry? It is the Lord. What did He do? When He ascended up on high, He gave gifts unto men. He gave Himself. Did you know that in the opening chapter of the Bible, that God has everything fixed just like He intends to fix it through the seven dispensations. In Adam, He had it all fixed. He had a man in His own image over all the works of God. You get that? He had a man in His own image, so says in the 27th verse, 26, 27, 28 verse, says He had a man in His own image, and He had dominion over all of God's works. That's all God plans to do in seven whole dispensations, and this being the sixth of the seven. He plans to, at the end of the seventh dispensation, have a man in His image with complete dominion over all of God's works. Now, but only this time, that time it was Adam, but this time it'll be the last Adam. And the last Adam will be the head of a many-membered corporate body, and this will be the man. It is the sons of God, if you please.
Hallelujah.
The reason God couldn't leave it like it was with Adam is that Adam was perfect by reason of innocence. And that's not what God wanted. He wanted perfection by reason of overcoming. Well, Gene, that's a difference, isn't it?
Right,
by reason of overcoming. Hallelujah. We're not innocent. We are overcomers. God wanted us. Oh, the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. Oh, that blessed hope. While Adam was perfect, but he was perfect because he had never been exposed to anything that would corrupt him. He was incorrupted, but he was not incorruptible. We're going past incorrupted to incorruptible. Hallelujah. Somebody has to do it. Somebody has to do it. Somebody has to do it in this age. A lot of somebodies has to do it in this age. Somebody has to walk into life. Has to tread under feet all of the obstacles and walk right into life. While yet in this tabernacle. And I tell you now that I'm a candidate. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can announce your candidacy. I've already announced mine all over the world. I've been announcing it for years that I am a candidate to walk into life. Hallelujah. In the 14th chapter of Revelation, 144,000 does it. And I'm a candidate to be one of them. But I tell you what, that's not the end of it. Soon as that 144,000 walks into life, that it is the bona fide, it is a God-given guarantee that there is a bountiful harvest out there. Amen. And behold, I show you a mystery, Paul said. We shall not all sleep or die. Word means die, doesn't it? But we shall all be changed. I find myself agreeing with folks. I said I agree with people because of terminology, but I know, technically, I know different. You know, like, I preached a lot of funerals. I preached over 700. I never have learned just how to control the breed or just what is the correct thing to say. So usually I just say, if I approach the son, I say, I'm sorry you lost your dad. Oh, I'm sorry your dad died. And he'll reply, well, Brother Jack, thank you for coming, and dad loved you, and the usual thing. And he says, but we all have to do this. And most generally I just agree, yeah. But see, you don't know any better, but I do. all don't have to do it. Well, I'm not standing here saying, somebody says, we used to have a lot of friction over never die. You've heard never die? Everybody heard that expression? Well, I'm not an ever die preacher. I'm just preaching living forever. Hallelujah. There is a difference. There is a difference. I can tell you what I believe, and you'll believe it too. I believe I believe that if time goes on and I pass my allotted days here, and the time element is not right, I'll go by the way of the grave. But I believe that if I do go by the way of the grave, I'll come out in the first resurrection. And blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, for over such the second death will have no power. But only the in Christ it will rise in the first resurrection. So you got to get ready to stay. Hallelujah. Somebody said, getting ready to leave. Well, I'm getting ready to stay. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says the earth will never be uninhabited. Hallelujah. And in all the tires, everywhere, he took out the wicked and left the righteous, didn't he? And in Noah's day, he took out the wicked and left the righteous, didn't he? He's always looking for this new creation. So Jesus, as he ascended up on high, he gave himself back. That's what he did. He divided his ministry into five ministries. He divided himself into five ministries and gave it back to the church. He gave himself back to the church. It was God's plan You're familiar with dispensations. You know that we're in the sixth dispensation. You know what a dispensation is? A dispensation is a period of time allotted by God in which God will dispense a portion of his life into humanity. And seven is a complete number. So seven, when the seventh dispensation is finished, God will have dispensed his life entirely into humanity. That'll be the end of the kingdom age. And the beginning of a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I could teach this slower and you could get it better, but believe me, it's all scriptural and it's all the truth. I know it by the scriptures, and I know it by revelation. I'm not peddling anything. I'm not looking for any followers. I'm not looking for any contacts. Hallelujah. Amen. I have no motive to preach the gospel except that there's a calling on me. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been thinking, and I've talked about, I'd like to retire from pastoring. Well, I'm actually a pastor. But that's another story, and I'm filling in. Hallelujah. Till we can get one. Praise the Lord. That was an agreement that I made with the church when I started. They voted me in. Pastor, come to the radio station where I was yodeling. And told me about it. And I said, oh, no, I don't want a pastor. I'd done a little preaching around. No, not a great deal. Just around. This was gentleman preachers, what it was. And they said, well, I said, I'll come over tonight and preach for you, and I'll talk to your elders. So I came over, and they was insisting to that pastor. And I said, no, I don't want a pastor. Really, I don't. And I never thought about pastoring. I don't want a pastor, but I'll tell you what I will do. I'll fill in. I like pastor until you can get one. But now don't you stop looking, because I don't want this to last long. And that was 35 years ago. And sometimes I suspect they ain't even looking for no pastor. Well, I know. I said Jesus divided himself and gave himself back to the church. All right, how? You want me to show you how? All right, in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, he is an apostle. So that takes care of the apostolic ministry for him. In Matthew chapter 24 and 25, he is a prophet. He is foretelling the future. And then in St. John chapter 4, he is an evangelist. He meets the woman at the well and evangelizes the city. And in St. John chapter 10, he is a pastor, the shepherd. And in St. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, he is a teacher. He is apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Hallelujah. And he has given to the church this fivefold ministry, which is himself. Now, when he is through with the church, when he has finished his working with the church, and the church has finished its ministry, it will all come together. You see it? It will all come together. And when it all comes together, there he is. He's the head, and this is the body. And he has, he's brought it, he's bringing it all back together now, and it is the body of Christ. It is the church, a living organism in the world today. Hallelujah. And the only way that we're going to be in the high order of any part of this church is if we recognize the fivefold ministry. There were two types of apostles, two categories of apostles. There were apostles to the Lamb, and they were limited to 12. They called apostles to the Lamb. That is, they assisted the Lamb to Calvary. Hallelujah. Oh, what a lofty calling. What a glorious reward they have. You know what their reward is? That they'll have a throne each in the kingdom. They'll each rule over a tribe of Israel. They'll be tribunal leaders forever and ever and ever. They were apostles to the Lamb. But these apostles that Jesus gave, he gives them the other side of Calvary. It's the other side of Calvary now. The apostles to the Lamb followed him to Calvary. And they became, finished that phase of their ministry as apostles to the Lamb, but on the other side of Calvary, when he ascends up on high, he gives back gifts unto men. Now he gives them to the church. So modern-day apostles are apostles to the church. Paul was an apostle to the church. Peter was an apostle to the Lamb and to the church. John was an apostle to the Lamb and to the church. But since they have phased out, there are no more living apostles to the Lamb, because Calvary is behind us. But there are apostles to the church, whom the Lord will keep in effect, at least through these seven dispensations. So the calling of an apostle is a very high calling. It is the highest ministry calling there is. And there are many in the land today. Most apostles don't go around bragging about being apostles. It's a weighty thing. God speaks to you, and you're not always sharp enough to know if it's God or just a suggestive mentality. You understand what I mean? You can have a suggestive mentality. You can have a mentality that is prone to lean to suggestion. And somebody can suggest something to you a couple of times, and you will accept it. You know, develop that. Oh, God, I prophesied that God's sending wave after wave after wave of His Spirit. You can be sure that the enemy is doing the same thing. And he's sending a wave that will capture your mentality. Yeah, and make you prone to the spirit of suggestion. And so you just suggest. How do you think all these children got on dope? It's through the spirit of suggestion. The enemy give them a mentality of yielding to the spirit of suggestion, and so a friend says, hey, you ought to try this. It's really a good feeling. It won't hurt you. I heard that stuff liable to kill you. Oh, shoot, I've got three brothers. It's 40 years old. One of them 40 years old and been doing it all his life. Sniffed everything he ever made up his nose. And he ain't hurt. And suggestive. Suggestive. Oh, I tell you, a great task lies ahead of the church that is yielded and submissive to this ministry. You think this ministry was just birthed here? Well, Paul is speaking of what God has done. But let's turn back over for a quick confirmation here, our prophetic projection. In the 40th chapter of the book of Psalms, in the 40th chapter of the book of Psalms, let's see here. You will have to excuse me, it's the 68th chapter of the book of Psalms. 68th chapter of Psalms and verse 18. Here it is in projection. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Here it was projected. When Paul gives it in Ephesians, he is quoting from here. He is perhaps not quoting from here. He's doing it through a prophetic knowledge and through a scriptural knowledge, but he is in reference to this passage. It had already been prophesied that God would hallelujah, that he would go into the heart of the earth? How is it that he had ascended is the same one that descended into the heart of the earth? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. God moved paradise. Hallelujah. Amen. He moved it from the heart of the earth to somewhere in the upper stratosphere. Hallelujah. And it was when he was moving paradise that he ascended up. Well, shall I give you some scripture here? Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 27 and read here in verse 51, I believe it is, in 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent. That is, when Jesus was crucified in the 50th verse, he cried out with a loud voice. He yielded up the ghost. The apostles of the Lamb had brought him to Calvary. They'd come to Calvary with him. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. In the temple, the veil was rent from the top to the bottom, signifying that God did it. He started at the top, ripped it through the bottom. Verse 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the grave after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, don't forget that. Let me point out some key words, because I want to take you right to another scripture here. All right? The graves were open, and many of the saints, of the body saints, many of them, not all, but many, which slept arose, but they didn't come out of the grave until after his resurrection. And then they appeared unto many. Now, let's turn over to, and let me see here, they came out of the graves, and they did not appear until his resurrection. Well, let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Well, that's as far as I want to read that. I want to turn now to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And I wrapped tried to tie all of this together here. Chapter 11. Hallelujah. And verse, the last verse in chapter 11, the last two verses, 39 and 40. And these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now he's talking about the Hall of Fame of the heroes of the Old Testament here. Many names, doesn't have space to name them all. And he said they died in faith. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, but they received not the promise. They could not be perfected because their perfection was going to be provided to another people. And so they went to, what happened to them? They died with a credit voucher. They believed in Jesus. They believed that God would send his son, and that the son would be the redemption of the world. They believed that God would be in Christ, reconciling the world unto themselves. They believed that they had found salvation. And so they died. Now, I said a while ago, if I should die as before I make my call in an election, sure, I'll rise in the first resurrection. Now, that's what happened to them. When Jesus died at Calvary and they buried him, he went into the heart of the earth, and he went into paradise, a place that was, and here's where all of these spirits was. All of these men that had died are with the credit voucher. Hallelujah. Amen. It was not time to cash it, but they had the credit voucher. And Jesus, back when I was a boy, in the middle 30s, in the Depression, you know, the school there at my hometown run out of money. I think about everything was out of money. I remember it because, you know, I was very young at that time. I was born in 27. So they paid the teachers, school teachers, they just give them $1 or 2 or $5 or, you know, just $2. Well, actually, they didn't have a lot of dollars coming back then. And they gave them a credit voucher for the other. And the bus drivers, they did the same thing. County workers, they did the same thing. They give them a credit voucher, paid them just a little money, barely enough to squeeze by as much as they could, and let them hold these vouchers. And when the county would get some more money, or the school would get some more money, they would deposit it in the bank. And if you had a voucher, you could go and they would honor it. That's what these folks had. They had a credit voucher. And they're all down there in a place called Paradise. maybe it's called by other names too, but it was Paradise. It was a place of rest, place of waiting. With this credit voucher, they was waiting for him to come. You know the message of the Old Testament? The theme of the Old Testament, what was the central message? He comes. He comes. The feet of the woman bruise the serpent's head while he bruises the heel. In the 49th chapter, the scepter shall not depart, nor a lawgiver from between the feet of Judah until Shiloh comes, until he comes. And then comes the Gospels, four Gospels. And what is the theme of the four Gospels? He dies. All of them record his death. Then comes the book of Acts, and he lives. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, he comes. Somebody said, oh, I'm waiting for his second coming. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. And I don't want you to get the idea that I don't believe he's coming. I do. I believe in his literal coming. But if he come now, to me, it'd be way too late to be his second coming to me. Hallelujah. He has come to this boy a lot of times. Hallelujah. He come to me in salvation. He come to me in healing. He come to me in deliverance. He come to me in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He has come. He will come. Hallelujah. He will come again, and every eye will behold him. But I tell you, he has appeared unto me on many occasions. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. I have endeavored to learn his voice and to know when he is speaking to me. I have needed direction badly, and guidance, everybody wants a word from the Lord, don't we? We want a word from the Lord. But I tell you now, if he speaks to us, he sure puts us sometimes on the spot. I'm going to tell you about an incident in my life at this point that I think is fitting, and it happened a long time back. It's been more than 15 years ago. And that don't mean that I haven't heard from God fresher than that or more lately, but this was one of the most profound visitations that I ever had from the Lord, and one of the most profound, unreasonable words that the Lord ever spoke to me. One of the most unreasonable, I thought, demands that the Lord ever put on my life. It happened like this. I had some very, very good friends who had pastored a long time, and they had moved to Houston. And the lady, they were all like maybe 50, in the early 50s, I'd say. And she had been a diabetic and in poor health for some time. But she had a stroke, massive stroke, in Houston. And they had her just on machines, and the doctor had told my brother in the Lord, her husband, to call the boys in. They had two boys. And that she wouldn't live till morning, you know. It was impossible for her to live with all the massive stroke that she'd had and this diabetic condition, and everything was against her. And then he mentioned, of course, that it would be best anyhow, because if they could keep her alive, even with machines, she'd be only a vegetable. So he called me at home, and he said, Brother Jay, he told me what had happened, and he said, I just wondered if he's going to be around home next day or two. And I said, I don't have any plans leaving town next two or three days. And he said, well, Ruth, he told me about Ruth, his wife, said, and when she dies, said, we want to bring her home to bury her. And he said, well, I said, well, I hate it so much. I'm so in sympathy with you. And he had already resigned to the fact that she, you know, would die that night. When I hung up the phone, well, I told him, I said, well, I'll pray. And he said, well, I appreciate it, Brother Jack. Just pray that I'll call you back in the morning and let you know, what to do, what the arrangements were, what he said. And when he left, I mean, when the call was over, I called my wife, and she was home, but I just got her attention, told her what had happened. And we called another, a lady from the church that often prayed with us, a real prayer warrior. We were back in my study. It was on the, in the house. We still lived out in on the farm at that time. And I had a study on one end of the house. It was real private, and yet it was in the house. And we was down there praying, and we just got to interceding for this sister. And I just laid down the floor. Like sometimes I walk, sometimes I lay in the floor, and sometimes I kneel, and I can do it from any position, and I can just pray from anywhere. And my wife laid in the floor, and the other sister, but we just all three was laying in the floor. And this was long, about 9 o'clock. That I knew that we were down in the floor, and we were, and then I just lost all awareness of any of everything. I lost all awareness of everything, and along about 12 o'clock, well, the sister gets up to go home at midnight, and my wife goes on up there in the house and goes to bed, and I am aware of that. And then I lapsed back into just an unawareness. And it was 3 o'clock in the morning when I woke up. And when I woke up, I wasn't on the floor, but I was at my desk, sitting in my desk chair, and I had in my hand a letter. And I had an envelope addressed to the hospital down in Houston, room number and all. And I had two pages of, of 8x11 in longhand, so I looked and I wondered, well, where am I and what am I doing? And then I seen what I was doing. I was stuffing this letter into an envelope, and I thought, well, I'm sending. I looked at the envelope and it was addressed. I said, I'm sending Brother Hines a letter. Now, then I realized I didn't know what the letter said. So I thought, I ought to know what it says. So I opened the letter, and I read, and the first paragraph was just an introduction, and then in the second paragraph, I come out with, Thus saith the Lord, I'm sending you the word of life. Yeah. And Sister Ruth will not die, but she'll live. And she won't just live overnight or for a week or a month, but I tell you, saith the Lord, that she'll live to see the third generation from her body. And not just an infant, but she'll live to see the third generation from her body. Call her granny. Her oldest grandchild's about 10 years old, and he's a second generation. So you can see what I've done, you know, what the Lord done. But we have projected her life for another 10, 12, at least another 12 years, the way I figure it. And I was figuring it, too. Yeah. And I thought, I said, Lord, did you speak to me? And yeah, I didn't hear nothing. I didn't hear no answer. And I said, Lord, I know that you spoke to me. I wrote this. It's obvious that I had written it.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.